Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I'm sitting down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to find out more about them and their contributions to the health and well-being of the people here in Bradford. In today's episode, we'll be learning more about robotic surgery and how this technology benefits patients as well as our surgeons. Joining me to explain more about this is Rajinder Singh, consultant uro-oncologist and urological surgeon. Welcome, Raj.
Thank you. I feel honoured to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And I'm very excited to hear all about our robotic services and where they're going in future, because it is a really exciting time for this scientific development, isn't it?
I couldn't agree more.
Raj, you've had an incredible journey, starting your medical career in Jamaica and then pioneering robotic surgery here in Bradford. What initially drew you to medicine? And how did your career path lead you specifically to be our resident expert on robotic surgery?
Well, interesting question. Medicine, well, I think I've always been destined to be a doctor because I'm one of three boys. And in my home, we're going to have one doctor, one lawyer, one engineer. I think my parents got two out of three. So I was the first. So I was always told that you're going to do medicine, and it is proven to be a good choice by my parents, but I've thoroughly enjoyed the journey. I mean, I'm from Trinidad in the Caribbean, and at the time, the only medical school was in Jamaica, so I went to Jamaica for 4 years, finished my undergraduate training in Trinidad, and then came to the UK to specialize in surgery. And in fact, interestingly, my very first job in the UK was here in Bradford.
Wow.
So it seems as though I started my career in Bradford and I shall end my career in Bradford as well.
Yeah, full circle. And did you come from a sort of a family of medical practitioners or?
No, I'm from a family of teachers.
Right, okay.
I was the first medic in my family. My niece is now qualified as a doctor, and I think I have a couple of cousins who have progressed down that route, but I was the first medic family, a long family history of teaching.
Long one. So maybe you've got some of that teaching DNA in there, because that's what you are predominantly here to talk about today, actually,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So you have, in that time, doubtlessly experienced, witnessed huge evolution in surgery, from traditional open surgery to laparoscopic surgery, and now into robotic surgery. What was your first experience with robotic surgery, and how did you change your approach as a surgeon?
Well, I remember it well. It was at the American Urological Association meeting in San Francisco in 2009. I had been a cancer trainee at UCL at the time doing laparoscopic surgery. And laparoscopic surgery for me was quite challenging, very tiring. And I remember seeing this device on a stand at the AUA in San Francisco. And I sat down and I thought, this is what I need to be doing. It was absolutely fantastic. How it has changed my approach to being a surgeon? Well, one, it convinced me that there's always an easier way to do things. It might involve some fairly sophisticated technology, but there's always an easier way to do things, because there are untold benefits to patients, the wider NHS, but the benefit to surgeons, to me, is a really important one, and one often not looked at closely enough. It takes 15 years to train somebody like me. And if you work them so hard doing such a difficult operation using technology, which is probably not totally adapted to what we're doing, then you burn them out really quickly. And there are not many of us around. And I think robotics has ensured that people like myself and future robotic surgeons might be along a bit longer, with a longer career,
yeah,
treating more patients.
Yeah. For people listening who may not necessarily understand the term laparoscopic, so when I trained as a nurse, back in the sort of late 80s and 90s. Laparoscopic surgery was just sort of emerging there as the alternative to what we would call the open procedures. Could you just briefly explain the difference between open, laparoscopic and robotic?
So open surgery requires that I get my hand into a patient.
Yeah.
So the incisions, the access incisions have to be quite large. And often most of your blood loss comes from getting into the area that you need to operate on. And your recovery is directly dependent on the size of your incision. So longer incisions, longer recovery, more pain, more painkillers, that sort of thing. Laparoscopic surgery was the first minimally invasive platform where you put these tiny little ports in, these long instruments that you could operate remotely on, but stood over the patient using your hands. So the thing about laparoscopic surgery is that it is counterintuitive. So if I want to move the instrument on the inside to the right, I have to move my hand on the outside to the left. So you really have to train your brain to do that. It's almost as if trying to do something in a mirror behind you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's counterintuitive. Whereas the robot, and it's aptly named, the company is called Intuitive Surgical. It is very intuitive. So if I want to move my instrument to the right, my hand moves to the right. So it's a lot easier, and it takes, the learning curve is a lot shorter.
Was it more difficult for you to move from laparoscopic, though? So if you'd never done laparoscopic, it's more kind of akin to what you do with your hands in a sort of an open procedure. Did you have to unlearn all the laparoscopic tricks of the trade?
No, it's easy enough to give up that because it's difficult.
Yeah.
And if somebody shows you a much easier way,
yeah,
you sort of forget the bad times and just focus on doing it, you know, in a much easier, to me, a much more sophisticated way.
You mentioned this a couple of times. So you can see from a patient point of view, you have a smaller incision, a lot less trauma internally. Your recovery time's quicker, your blood loss is less, your healing time is quicker. And that's great for our patients. But what does it mean for surgeons then and your own experiences? You mentioned laparoscopic was very intellectually taxing in that way. Was it a physical thing as well?
Well, both physically and mentally taxing. I think the robot by itself as a piece of technology has loads of benefits. We have magnification, so we look 10 times magnification. The instruments move, they have 7 degrees of movement. That's one more than your own hand. So you can do things that your hand can't do. They're very small and therefore very precise. And it's a fantastic piece of kit. Operating with the robot, because it's intuitive, means that it is a lot easier to learn and you can get quite efficient at doing these operations far quicker than you could do them laparoscopically or open. And then the benefits of minimally invasive surgery, you have less pain, less bleeding, faster recovery, less complications. For surgeons in particular, it is significantly less tiring. My main expertise is in urology, doing prostate, bladder, and kidney surgery. And I could do a prostate operation faster than I could ever do an open operation. And so much so that 95% of our patients go home the next day. And during the pandemic, we were sending patients home on the same day, which is something we've published.
That's remarkable, isn't it? And you yourself have been instrumental in bringing robotic surgery to Bradford. Can you tell us more about Bradford's role in the development of robotic surgery and your vision for making it a centre of excellence in the future?
Bradford had the first iteration of the robot before I got here. I think they'd done about 10 cases and they advertised for 2 people. And I was in London at the time and thought, I don't care where I get a job, but seeing that it was Bradford and I'd worked here before, I was quite keen. So I came up here and we got the robot thanks to the donation of Sovereign Healthcare, and they have subsequently donated again.
A second one.
For a second robot. Yep. So we're quite thankful to them for the vision they had in supporting robotics in Bradford. My time here in Bradford, we've moved from doing robotic prostates initially to robotic kidney surgery, and we were one of the first in Yorkshire to do that, and the first in Yorkshire to do robotic bladder surgery. At the last Bowes consensus, I think Bradford, we had done about 20% of all the robotic cystectomies done in the UK. So our numbers here in Bradford have always been good, and we've held workshops over the years. And the one thing that people say is that they're surprised by the volume of work that we do here in Bradford and the expertise that we have.
Yeah.
Because we're busy working, we don't publish as much as we should.
Yeah, yeah. And it feels like robotic surgery is only going to grow and grow from here. What advancements do you see in the future of robotic surgery? And do you think remote surgery could become more common?
I think technology improves because of the vision that some people have. And science fiction movies are great for that. And I could foresee a day where I could be sat at home with my goggles and a special pair of gloves,
yeah,
operating on patients either here or anywhere in the world. They've done transatlantic operations already. Earlier this month, they did an operation from Bordeaux. They were operating on a patient in China. So all that's possible. What I think robotic technology will get to is smaller robots, more versatile, and the ability for remote surgery will become a reality and probably the norm.
And the thing about, like you say, the robots getting smaller, because they are quite big things, aren't they? They're huge, actually, when you see them in an operating theatre, like big spiders, aren't they?
Yes.
They're quite impressive pieces of kit.
The robotic platform is developing. At a recent meeting, there are about 8 different robotic manufacturers. I was really surprised to see all of them in one place as competitors. And most of them look similar, but some people have gone off in a different direction. So they've tried to improve the ergonomics. So now they have what they call open consoles. So you're just sat with goggles rather than leaning into this console that we have at present. Mm. They're developing haptics, so you could actually get feedback from the tissues, which we currently don't have. Some of the robotic instruments are becoming even smaller, and the software to control all of this is improving. Intuitive, which are the makers of our robots here in Bradford, they have been the longest players in the robotic field, and they're just a cut above. You know, they're probably the Rolls Royce of robots at the moment, but sooner or later, the other robots will catch up.
So you mentioned that robotic surgery has allowed surgeons like yourself to have longer careers. How has it personally impacted on your career longevity? And tell us more about your role as proctor and what advice do you give to younger surgeons coming into this particular field?
I think robotics will keep me going for a while longer. I always tell the story. When I was training in London, the people, all the surgeons who were doing my type of work that I was training in, all had heart attacks by age 55.
Wow.
Because it was challenging work, very stressful. I've made it past that point. But I think, you know, it's a lot better for me because I can sit and operate. It's not as stressful as an open operation where you bent over the patient, all laparoscopic surgery. And because of that, I think I'll keep going for quite a while longer. My role as a proctor, I was quite honored that Intuitive had asked me to become a proctor. I think I'm one of 5 or 6 proctors in the country, and I'm the only one doing kidneys, bladders, and prostates in urology. For me, it was more recognition of the work that we do here in Bradford, which, like I say, we don't publicize very much. And it's quite an honor. I had to submit all my data and videos and so on. And I think someone external had to look at it and approve the offering of the proctorship to me. I look forward to training surgeons and having them visit Bradford and see the quality of the work that we do and, you know, sharing the plans for developing Bradford into a robotic center of excellence.
That's the opportunity, a multi-specialty, aren't they? I mean, your own urological specialty. We're now doing a lot more in ENT. I mean, is it conceivable that robotics will advance into every bit of surgery that we do potentially? Is it ever going to do a hip replacement?
I think robotics is the future of surgery, and that view certainly was expressed by the Royal College of Surgeons in a review of robotics last year. Here in Bradford, we started with urology and then head and neck came on board, and gynecology, upper GI, lower GI. We started with one robot. We upgraded to a new one, then got a second. And I think sooner or later, we're probably going to need a third. My vision for Bradford is to create a robotic center of excellence. There's a body in the States, in the US, that certifies centers of excellence, and they have a set of criteria. And when you look at it, we in Bradford already fulfill all the criteria necessary to be a center of excellence.
Yeah.
Bradford was renowned as a laparoscopic center of excellence. And I think I want us to move forward so that we become known as a robotic center of excellence. There are a number of hospitals across the UK with multiple robots, but they're not organized into a robotic center. There are huge benefits into organizing it that way. And I think ultimately it'll help progress robotic surgery here in Bradford and further afield. And yes, I think every bit of surgery has robotic applications which you know could become suitable and the norm in the future.
Yeah, I'm sure. And in terms of attracting, you know, the next generation of surgeons, we've got to make ourselves competitive. And it's if the future genuinely is about robotics, AI, all of those kind of technological advancements, then we have to be there, don't we? We have to be pushing at the kind of the edges of what's possible on all specialties to give our patients the benefits that these techniques bring.
Definitely. I've had the opportunity to visit quite reputable robotic centers across the world. And I have to say that in the UK, we haven't yet organized our robotic services into that sort of model. But I think if we do it here in Bradford, I think we'd be one of the first in the UK. And I'm quite keen to work on that and get a world-class multi-specialty robotic center established here in Bradford.
And that's going to be, I guess, the legacy you want to leave from your time here at Bradford, right at the beginning of your career, right to the end of your career. It's not coming anytime soon, we know that, and nor do we want it to. But what a legacy to leave, Raj.
I hope that the legacy that I leave would be my work for my patients, hopefully is my skill as a surgeon, and certainly creating the Bradford Robotic Centre.
And Raj, if you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what might it be?
Enjoy the process. It's a journey, not a destination. I've took the scenic route to where I am, but I've enjoyed it every step of the way, and I think there's certain benefits to that.
Thank you, Raj, for sharing your valuable insights and experiences with us today. It's been a real pleasure hearing about your role and how innovation that you have led, you have been at the vanguard of, have benefited our community. And if you would like to learn more about robotic surgery, simply visit our website, bradfordhospitals.nhs.uk, and search for robotic surgery.